chapter number 14, and I want you to get ready. Okay, those of you that are God's doing a work in your life, do not abandon that work. Stay right where you are and receive God's power. Receive what He's doing. And so today, we're going to log in, we're going to go live, and we're going to get ready to talk about something that I believe every one of us in here need. Every one of us that are tuning in online, every one of us that are listening, let's wake up to the things of God. I mean, let's wake up to God's plan and God's purpose in our life. You can take me down just a tad, Joe. I want to talk to you about something today that a lot of times we overlook, and a lot of times we don't understand what we're doing in our lives. In Numbers chapter number 14, we find this reality long about verse number 27. And in verse 27, it says this: God is speaking back to Israel after Israel has forsaken the promised land, after Israel has walked away from what God had originally designed for them to possess. Okay. And so in there, as they're doing that, okay, they get this attitude of, well, God brought us out here in the wilderness to die. Do you know that multiple, dozens of times, multiple times in this story, you can bring me back up a little bit, Joe. In this story, multiple times, there's these complaints that Israel says, He's brought us out here to die. He's brought us out here to destroy us. And so the Bible says that God responded, and this is what God said. Church, listen to me. This is what God is saying to you. A generation of so-called believers that are not receivers, all right? A generation of so-called proclaimers who are not proclaiming who God actually is and His promises in our life. He says, how long must I endure this evil community that keeps what? Circle it. Say it out loud. Complaining. Complaining about what? Me. He says, I have heard the Israelites, there it is again, what? Complaints that they make against me. Now listen to me and understand this. We live in a generation of believers that have more woe is me or than come unto me. Woe is me, more complaint and more sadness than they have joy. I'm telling you now, parents, listen to me. We are raising the most depressed generation of teenagers I've ever been around. People cutting and harming, and they think that that's their reality. And every time you try to point them to Jesus, they shut you down. Every time you bring up the name of Jesus, they don't want to hear that. We're raising wives that when you start bringing out the Bible, they don't care. Husbands that when you start bringing out the Word of God, they don't stand on it. People that are more willing to stand on the ideas of the world than on the promises and the Word of God. People more willing to do their own practices and worldly practices than to do the practices that God has called us to. People that desire more emotion than actual power. Can I tell you this? God's power produces emotions, but emotions rarely produce God's power. All right, now I understand a lot of people, they come in on Sunday and they got this hands raised high, living as if God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They worship and they proclaim, and then they go out to the week and they live an atheist lifestyle. Definition of atheism, to live as if God doesn't exist. So they come in, they worship God, and then they go out through their week and live as if God doesn't exist, and then they expect all these things of God to come true in their lives. You know what they are? Just like the children of Israel. People that have experienced God's power, but forget about it as soon as the miracle's over. People that go to church and experience God's word, but forget about it as soon as the word is done preaching. Now listen to me. I am sick and tired in my life, not yours, my life, of letting complaints fill my mind instead of God's praises. Of letting things flood my mind with doubt and worry instead of standing on the truth of who God is. And I'm looking at you and I'm looking at us and I'm saying, hey, it's time for worldly and human reasoning to stop being the guide and the compass of our life. And it's time for the Word of God, the praise of God, the righteousness of God to become the captivating power of which we respond and of which we go. We say, well, if I do it that way, it will not work. No, it's the fact that you're doing it your way. That's why it hasn't been working. If you would simply trust God with everything, then you would see His power unleashed. And God says, how long will I allow this evil generation to complain against me? Look at verse 28. In verse 28, it goes on and He says, tell them this, as surely as I, the Lord, this is His declaration, as surely as I live. Underline this in your Bible. I will do to you exactly as you say. All right, listen to me. You know what God said? If all you've got is complaint, I'll give you your complaint. If that's all you can bring, then I'll give you. We're going to die in the wilderness, so be it. so be it. If that's what you think of me and that's what you worship in me, then if you're claiming today that you're going to die in your worry, die in your depression, die in your anxiety, then so be it. It's not according to his word, it's according to your word. Not according to his faith, according to your faith. And so what happens? Everybody, next verse, everybody over the age of 20, your corpses will fall in the wilderness. All of you who were registered in the census, the entire number of you, 20 years old or more, because you have complained about me. Now, I'm going to challenge you today. I am not coming under the power of Josh Moore. I'm coming today under the power of Jesus Christ. And I am firmly believing I have a message for you today, straight from the Word of God. And so I'm going to ask you to stop talking. I'm going to ask you to stop doing any other thing and to focus on what God has to say to you. Stop listening to what the deceiver, the accuser, and the world has to say, and tune in today, because I firmly believe God is going to speak straight to your heart. You say, how do you know that? Because when God hit me with this, it revived my heart. It convicted my heart. It changed my life. And if it raised my heart and raised my worship and raised my life because of his word, I'm confident today that it'll raise yours. All right? So I'm praying in Jesus' name that your bladder's hold. All right? I'm praying in Jesus' name that distractions cease. And I'm praying in Jesus' name that you open your heart, your ears, your eyes, your mind to the word of God, not the word of man. Are you ready? So I want you to grab somebody's hand. If you're listening online or watching, I want you to pause for a moment. I want you to grab the word of God. And I want you to hold it tight. And let's pray. All right? Let's do it. God, here we come. God, here it is. You've called us into your throne. You have called us into your word. You have called us into your presence. So here we come. Here we come. We come attentive. We come available. We come ready. We come excited. So God, I pray that you bind Satan. God, take that little puny brat and kick him out of this building. Kick him out of these distractions. Kick him out of these homes. Kick him out of these minds. I pray that your angels will set up all around this place with their flaming swords of power under the mighty influence of you, that they will protect this place from the enemy today, that they will shield us from distraction so that our hearts will be open to receive your truth. And God, I pray you rip the roof off this place and pour yourself out. And God, I ask this today, if there be any asleep, may they wake. If there be any lost, may they be found. If there are any broken, may they be healed. If there are any hurting, may they come to the healing grace that you offer. God, if there's anyone here with a lack, may they see you as the solution to their need. God, I pray that you will not fill this place with words and just time and just testimony, but you will fill this place with the Holy Spirit and the power of your conviction, the power of your freedom. Call us to the promised land as you called the children of Israel. May we be delivered from a mindset of corruption into a mindset of peace. It's in your name we do these things, and it's in your name we stand, and it's in your name we are confident, and it's in your name we worship, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray these things. And everyone said, amen. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I've been dying to get here today. Since God started speaking to me, have you noticed I can't leave Numbers, can't leave Joshua, and then when I do leave Numbers and Joshua, I wind up in Acts. You know, I told somebody the other day, it's no accident in the Bible that you get the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then right after you get all the Gospels about Jesus, you get action. That the book of Acts, where people went to work. Matter of fact, can I tell you this, church? I'm having a hard time believing you're a believer if you get the Gospel of Jesus Christ, but you don't get the work of Christ. I'm having a hard time believing you're a believer if you get the Gospel of Jesus Christ, but you don't get the worship of Jesus Christ. I mean, listen, you can't hear the truth of Jesus, get Jesus in your heart, and then sit still. You can't get the truth of Jesus and then hate people. You can't get the truth of Jesus and then forsake all others. So here's what I'm going to ask that happen. All right? Listen, if anybody is anywhere outside talking, send them in. If anybody is in a bathroom hanging out, send them in. All right? This is a message that I'm not going to allow Satan to rob anybody of. Are y'all okay with that? All right, you ready? All right, listen, grab this and hold it tight and do not let it go. Matter of fact, I believe if the prophets and others were saying these things, they would say these. Write it on your heart. Write it in your mind. Now, I want you to understand something today, and I want you to write this down. We're living in a generation to where we have more panic than praise. We have more worry than worship. I wrote this statement. God gave it to me. I want you to write it down. Israel had more panic than praise, more worry than worship, more objection than obedience. They and as a result, they had more problems than promise. in there. Hey, listen, they had all these things that they were worshiping that was not of God. I mean, if you read this story, Israel knew this. Write this down. Israel knew, number one, the plan of God. Number two, they had the promise of God. They were blessed with the provision of God. All right? They had the understanding of God, but they did not believe in the faith of God. So they did not understand when God tried to promote. So they didn't understand the promotion of God and therefore abandoned the presence of God. So let me put this. Just because you know the promises of God, just because you know the power of God, and just because you know the plan of God, doesn't mean you have the presence of God. In this passage, God comes out and tells them, everybody over the age of 20 is going to die. So look what happens. Same passage. Skip down a few more verses. Look at verse number 42 and verse number 43. This is after Moses comes out and says, because of your complaints, you're not going in the promised land. In verse number 42, it says that they were, and I'm going to sum up to it. They immediately, once they heard God said, hey, you're going to die in the wilderness, they said, let's go take the land. Hey, now let's go do it. Now understand this. There's a difference in responding to the presence and power of God than responding to the panic of what happens when you produce things that aren't worthy and righteous in your life. And in there they say, okay, we don't want to die in the wilderness, so now we'll obey. That's obedience based on grief, not obedience based on a true surrender and followance of God. And there's a lot of people that come down and they surrender to God because of their grief, but they don't surrender to God because of their obedience. And there's a total difference. And Moses said to them, hey, they said, we're going to go take it. And Moses says, don't go. He says, don't go because the Lord is not among you and you will be what? Defeated. All right, then it goes on. Look at the next verse. He says, hey, the Amalekites and Canaanites are right in front of you, and you will fall by the sword. The Lord won't be with you since you have turned from what? Following him. You know that the Bible says in many verses, and I didn't put these up there for you today, but in verse number 36, it says this. So the men Moses sent out to scout the land who returned and incited. In other words, they put the community in a panic because of the Bible says, because they complained about him by spreading a negative report about the land. Those men who spread the negative report about the land were struck down. They died immediately by the Lord. And hey, look, they're looking at this and they're like, we don't want to die like that. We don't want to do that. So in other words, it's like, God, I don't want the consequences of sin, so I'll serve you. I don't want the consequences of my actions, so now I'll surrender to you. That is not a surrenderance to God, church. A surrenderance of God is not made to avoid something. A surrenderance of God is made to obtain something. To say, okay, God, I want your leadership. I want your authority. Hey, if you got saved just to get out of hell, check your salvation. Because your salvation is not about escaping hell. Your salvation is about heaven being made known to your soul and the Spirit of God invading your life and the life-raising power, resurrection power of Jesus Christ becoming a part of who you are. And if today you went and got scared into Jesus, there's a good chance you ain't staying in him. All right, look, I love my Jesus not because he kept me out of hell. I love my Jesus because he loved me. That's what the Bible said. We love him because he what? He first loved us. And we have too many people, listen to me, the Bible says in the end time that many will stand before God, hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. And their first statement will be, but Lord, we taught in your name. We testified in your name. We did all these things in your name. Write it down. Knowing the promise, knowing the plan, knowing the power does not give you the presence. It does not save you. And I'm going to tell you right now, we have too many in the church across this land that thinks they're saved and believes they're saved because they've always been in church. Or I've had people say this to me. Well, I just kind of always believe that God exists. Good. Good. That doesn't make you saved. You say, oh, yes, it does. Well, do you believe the Bible today? How many of you say, I believe God's word is true? Raise your hand. How many of you say, I believe God's word is the authority? His word trumps my word any day. All right? He is the true trump. All right? So here it is. Understand this. Listen. It says in James chapter number 2, I try to find the verse of which I could cut off. You know, as preachers, sometimes we try to save times by giving you a verse and paraphrasing the rest. But the Word of God speaks so good for itself, I need to shut up and just say His Word. All right? I like how Amy says it. The what ifs of life are always conquered by the it is risen. It is written. It is said. It has been done. Be it done to you according to this. Hey, it's not based on what we believe. I've been talking to our worship team and I said, look, we're going to start writing music and they're doing a beautiful job. And I said, but here's the thing. Too much of our music and worship today is about us. I am this and I am that. And that, you know what that's, it's true worship. Hey, it's truly singing about what we're worshiping about. We're worshiping me. We're worshiping ourselves. We need to write some worship that's about Him. All right? You are this, and you are faithful, and you are just. You are true. If it ain't about God, it ain't worship. It's not God worship. It's idol worship. All right, do you understand? Now listen, I know, I told you last week, I'm going to put the attendance of our church on the chopping block. I am laying you. You are my Isaac. I love you with an everlasting love, and I love your families, and I love who you are, and I love your faces, and I love your attendance, but I'm going to tell you this, I much more love God than I love this church, and I much more love you being in the presence of God than you being in the presence of Grace Community Church. I'd rather you stand in the power of God than stand in our sanctuary. You say you're going to run people off. No, I firmly believe if we lift Jesus up, if we lift Him high, if we make Him known, if we fear the Lord, and are led by the Holy Spirit according to Acts, then we will grow in numbers. But it won't be numbers of people that need entertainment. It'll be numbers of people that desire Jesus. It won't be the numbers of the people that stand in their own wealth and abilities. It'll be the people standing, knowing that the only reason they're standing is because God picked them up and stood them up, supported them, and established their lives. Let the broken be raised. Hey, it's easier for a poor person. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. It's easier for a child to come into the kingdom than someone of wealth. Why? Because people that think they have it all together, they'll one day stand before God and realize how much they didn't have. You know, I mean, listen to me. Let His word be truth and every man a liar. That's the new anthem of my life. Let your word be proof. I told my wife, and I'm telling you, I'm trying to seek God more than I ever have. Let me apologize to you. In my 10 years of pastoring, I have never had a desire to seek God like I've had for the past 3 weeks. While that may be where the accuser shows up and says, what a shame, I stand and testify, what a good but challenging 3 weeks it's been. You know why? Because I have had to go through a lot of conviction, and I've realized how stupid I can be sometimes. And I've realized how much I need Him. You know how many times I've had to say, God, sorry for that thought. Sorry for saying that. Sorry for the way I just reacted to that. You know what I mean? Why? Because I understand this. We think worship brings us into the presence of God, but in truth, repentance brings us into the presence of God. Repentance brings us into a good standing. You know, you say, well, the Bible says your sins have hid His face from you because of your iniquity, your lifestyle of sin. Iniquity is a constant transgression. A transgression is going opposed to what you know the Bible says. Because of your iniquities, you're separated. You say, well, God never leaves us or forsakes us. No, He does not. God is always present, seeing every one of our needs. But you can forsake His power. You can forsake His promise. And you can forsake His plan. You can wind up in a wilderness the rest of your life. Why? Because it's not about what you know about God. It's what you believe. And how do you know what you believe until it's actually tested and put to work? So here's the word of God. James chapter 2, verses 18 through 26. Now, some may argue that some people have faith and others have good deeds, but I am here to say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I'll show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. Good for you. I almost see the author. Because even the demons believe. Even the demons believe this. And they tremble in terror. Well, I know God. I believe there's a God. I testify that there's a God. That don't get you into heaven, brother. That don't get you into the heaven, sister. That don't get you into the presence or in the presence. What gets you in there? You got to actually have this activated faith. Now, can I say this? And I want you to understand that today, just because you have the knowledge of God, the word of God, and the promises of God, doesn't mean you have the relationship of God, knowing things, knowing, understanding, totally different things. And he says this, even the demons believe and they tremble in terror. Verse number 20, how foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds, faith without works is what? Useless. You know what King James calls it? Dead. Flat out dead. Your faith without works, it is dead. It says this, do you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right by God by his what? actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and his actions did what? Work together. His actions made his faith what? You don't believe it if you're not doing something with it. I mean, hey, one of my favorite songs out right now is Laura Daigle's You Say. What you say that I am. And I have seen people that post, and I've had people sit in my office and say, that is my favorite song. And in the next breath, start talking about how worthless they are. Hey, you like the music, but you don't like the message. You believe in the beat and you believe in the rhythm, but you don't believe in the word. Why? Because how can you say, oh God, this is what you say that I am, and then in the next breath utter the words that you are anything other than fearfully and wonderfully made? How can you say that God is good and in the next breath live as if he doesn't exist? How can we say that we have an almighty, all-reigning God, but the first time a trial comes, we abandon? The first time our marriage doesn't go like a fairy tale, we want a divorce. And when our husband doesn't act up, we do not do the things that God has called us to do. When people don't live up to our expectations, we abandon. Oh, but God, bring an awakening. No. Okay, listen. Those are just words and anthems. Those are just beautifully written poems if you don't activate the action behind the meaning of the word. To say that God can heal is a beautiful statement, but it means nothing until you're putting hands on somebody that needs the healing. Until you're putting a prayer behind the hands, a confession in the prayer, and then believing it's the prayer, fervent prayer, the earnest prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. I like Ananias. Ananias and Paul had this moment. Right? Paul's name was Saul, and Saul was a terrible man. And Ananias, God gives him a vision and says, I want you to go lay hands on this guy named Saul. And Ananias' response is, dude, I know who Saul is. Saul's been murdering the Christians. What? And he says, hey, look, this is what I want you to do. And Ananias walks up. Saul is blind. Saul cannot see. Saul saw Jesus, and that's all he could see. As a matter of fact, you can say it this way. Saul saw Jesus, and that's all he saw. All right, that's all he could see for the next 3 days. For 3 days, he couldn't see, he couldn't eat, he could not drink. Why? He had gotten a vision of Christ, and it blinded him. Oh, may the church get such a sight of the light of God that all we see is the power of our Holy One, Jesus Christ, and we don't see anything else. May our eyes become blinded to the things of this world as we look into the bright light. And I'm going to tell you now, practice it. Look straight up. Find a light. Look straight into that light. Joe, bring every light as bright as they can possibly go. Look straight into the light. Find it and stare at it. Just for a second. All right, count to the 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now look at me. Do you still see the light? Am I a little blurred? I mean, all I got brightness. I got distorted vision. Why? I stared at the light. And now I don't see you. I see a distorted light version of you. Can I say this now? What would happen to the world if the church would start staring at Jesus so much that when they saw the world, all they saw is the light version of what the world could be? All they saw was Jesus Christ in every person. May we stare at the light so much that when we look at others, all we see is the hope and the possibilities of what the light can do in their life. It goes on and it says this, that his actions made him complete. It keeps going and it says, hey, look at verse number 23. And so it happened, the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and was counted him, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He had been even called a friend of God. It goes on in the next verses and it talks and says, so see, when we are shown to be right with God by what we do and not by faith alone. Verse 25, it says, Rahab, the prostitute. It's another example. Let me say this. Not the recovered Rahab. The prostitute. The one that literally was giving her body to the world for a living. Oh, listen. There was this one night she gave her body to the Lord. This one night she opened her house so that the spies of Israel could come in and check out Jericho. And the Bible says that she was shown to be right with God by her. Say it loud. By her what? Her actions when she hid the messengers and sent them away safely by a different road. So let's claim verse 26. You ready for this? Here's what it says. Verse 26. Just as the body is dead without breath, so faith is dead without good works. You're saying, what are you saying? Hey, listen, it ain't a church if all it has is faith, but no works to back up the faith. It ain't a relationship if all you have is the word of the relationship, but not the works of it. In other words, it's like this. If I love my wife and son, I do things for my wife and son I don't do for anybody else. I don't do things because of my love for my wife and son, because I don't want to do something to surrender them. How many of you in the house of God understand what we're saying here today? Do you get this? We have a generation of, oh my goodness, we're going to die in the wilderness. And God's saying, okay, if that's what your belief is, if that's what you're saying, so be it, take it. So I want you to write this down, this statement, and I don't want you to ever forget it. We are not saying today that your salvation comes from good works, but we are saying today that good works do come from your salvation. All right? We are simply saying today that if you are in Christ, it should produce something lasting and changing in your life. So here's what we got to do with. In the house of God, we've got to deal with our complaint problem and let our complaint problem turn into a praise problem. We gotta have a relationship with God that produces an obedience with God. So I want to take and very quickly give you the five things and dangers that complaints cause in our life based on the story of the children of Israel in the wilderness. You ready for this? Write them down. Number one, complaining kills potential. You will never reach the climax of your ability while complaining about your abilities. You will never reach the full potential of who you are. I had a coach one time say to me, he said, Josh, you have the potential to be a great basketball player. I smiled from ear to ear. And then he looked at me and he said, I don't know what you're smiling for. What I simply said is, you have potential to be something, but you ain't done nothing yet. Now, I'm not saying you're good. I'm saying you got to get good. You got to go work it. You got to develop it. And when I'm complaining, I'm not developing. All right? When I'm complaining, I'm opposite of developing. I'm regressing. All right, number two, write it down. Complaint hinders progress. You cannot grow and you cannot be developed. It hinders your growth and it stops your achievements when you're complaining. We see that in the children of Israel. They got all the way to the border of the promised land, but never got in. Why? They couldn't stop complaining. Do you understand the language of the Bible? The Bible says that God did not make them die in the wilderness because they forsook the promised land and they forsook the promise. God let them die in the wilderness because they couldn't stop complaining. He said it's because of their complaints. Yeah, you know why your marriage is dying? Your mouth, your mindset. Well, if he and only, you know, he should be and all that. Now, she, no. Stop complaining. Stop nagging. The Bible says, hey, listen, a quarrelsome wife is it's terrible to live with. The Bible said, matter of fact, it's better to be on the rooftop than in the house with a brawling woman. You know, but guys, before we start saying, hey, how bad they are, the Bible talks about our temper too. Bible talks about how, hey, if we're not right with her, we're not right with God. If we're separated from her, we're separated from him. So for all of you that are living in a marriage thinking that you're right with God while living opposed to your marriage, ain't happening. Your complaints are hindering your progress, and your progress has separated you from the power of God in your life. For all of you teenagers that are so obsessed with sports, let me tell you this. I've had this statement said to me, and I'm going to put it to death. Well, we just need more athletes. No, we need more Jesus. No, we need, well, you know, these kids are this way and these kids are that way. Maybe your kids aren't right. Maybe if your kids think that all they need is the cool and popular crowd, then maybe you led them wrong and you put an idol in front of them that they're worshiping and serving. And if they were true children of God and being pointed, directed toward God, they wouldn't be looking for the popular crowd. They'd be looking for the broken crowd. They'd be looking for the kid that's getting picked on. They'd be looking for the kid that's got issues. They'd be looking for the kid that doesn't have a friend and becoming a friend instead of saying, well, I can't be a part of that because nobody's cool. And I'm going to tell you this now. Ain't nobody going to be truly cool till they get to heaven. Right now, we live in a world full of problems. And if you're on your way to hell without Jesus, it's very hot there. But when we get to heaven, that's where perfection is. That's where that, hey, everybody's got the same talent and ability and everybody's imperfection and equality. Hey, we don't have that here. God did not call the church to be in the cool, hip, popular. He said, you're going to be separated from the world. So can I tell you this? When somebody calls you broken, praise Jesus. And when somebody says, hey, man, you really are a holy roller. Well, let me just show you how this holy rock can roll right over you. Let me just show you how the holy word of God can trample anything. Let me show you how Goliaths fall. Let me show you how mountains move. Let me show you how good God is. It's not based on my praise. It's not based on who I am. It's not based on my righteousness. It's based on the power of God. And if the church would start living in the power of God, then maybe the power of God would start living in the church. Maybe we would see breakthroughs. Man, we got too much complaints hindering progress. Complaining, put this down, it empowers and promotes the enemy. I mean, remember this statement? We're like grasshoppers. I mean, we're so small. Even the enemy sees us that way. I mean, my problems are so big. Yeah, I heard a song the other day. DJ, you might have to correct me if I'm wrong. I was driving home a couple Sunday nights after somebody had really flooded my head with things that shouldn't be there. And I was driving home in this battle, in this war, and a song came on and says, we keep looking at our problems as giant size when we should be looking at our problems through God's eyes. And I was like, man, I'm in my garage. Never heard this song. DJ ended up sending it to me because I told him about it. I was in my garage and I was in park. I was literally about to get on and that line hit and conviction hit my life. And I thought to myself, you know, what church are we trying to build here? What are we trying to build here? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you. I'm trying to build that church and that church. And that church all the way back there, right, John? That brother all the way back there, right, Pete? All the way back there, and Beth. Hey, you know, all these people all the way around here, right, Amy? Hey, right, Curtis? Hey, right, Greg? We're trying to build that church, not this one. Yeah. We're trying to build up the body. That's you. Right. Trying to build up your life. And listen to me, church. We could blow this thing up with everything. I could bribe you. I could do those things. There's nothing wrong with getting people in God's house. But there's something very wrong with people coming to God's house for a treat instead of people coming to God's house for God. There's something very wrong with people coming to God's house with this mindset of, oh, wow. You know, I told people, start asking people and they tell you how good their church is, what they love about their church. And if it isn't that God's growing them, then tell them they need to get in a church where God's growing their spirit, not where music is ushering their soul. You say, well, are you against worship? No, my whole sermon's complaint to praise. All right, but I'm going to say this. I believe the Church of the Living God has too many complaints against God. In other words, they sound like this. God, where are you? Well, somebody answer me that. Let's solve that question for everybody. Phones down, eyes up. Everybody answer this for me. All right? Where is God? So why are you asking? God, do you hear me? Does God hear all prayer? How many of you believe that the Lord's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear? How many of you believe that heaven is open to entertaining the needs of your heart? Man, Psalm says that God is keeping record of every tear. Revelation says that at the end times when Jesus is presented King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it's every tear that God kept record of that's laid at his feet as a trophy. That God is so touched with the feeling of our infirmities. God, do you know what I'm going through? Are you kidding me? It breaks God's heart that you're going through a world that's polluted. Because God did not create it with pollution. We polluted it. You know, I don't believe that, and people say this, well, God only gives autistic kids to good parents. No, I don't believe God gave my son autism. Don't you dare talk about my God that way. I believe we're in a perverted world that is polluted, and I believe pollution is what caused autism. Sin is what caused autism. And today, I believe that if God were to activate and step in and even speak to that autism, that in a moment, that giant would fall, and in a moment, it would be taken out. God did not give us a kid with autism because he trusted us as parents. No, we're giving our kid with autism to God because we trust him as God. It's not who we are, it's who he is. And we need a generation that raises up and says, hey, here's my business, here's my son, here's my daughter, here's my wife, here's my heart. God, I need it to be you sized. I need it to be touched by your hand, spoken to by your voice. I need it to come alive in Jesus. And so as a result, listen to me. My complaints cease. I stop hindering and promoting how big Satan is, and I start promoting my God. Matter of fact, by the way, whatever your words promote is the God of your life. If it will, life's just bad. I know what the God of your life is. It's not my God. Well, church was just dead today. I know what the God you came for is. It's not my God. Man, I'm roasting. I'm dripping in sweat. I'm sweating in places that didn't even know I had pores. I mean, listen, like, I'm hot, but I really right now feel like if I jumped, Jesus might just catch me and take me home. I mean, I really just feel like he is present and he is close. And you know what that makes it? That makes it worship. So I understand that my complaint empowers the enemy and it promotes the works of darkness. My complaint, number four, corrupts people. 10 came back with a complaint report, and the Bible said it incited the people. It ignited their complaining. At the beginning of the chapter, they started complaining because foreigners were complaining. In the chapter before that, they started complaining about what they were eating because other people were complaining. Hey, can I say this? Hey, I am closed for business when it comes to your complaints. Closed. Well, did you hear about so-and-so? Nope, don't want to. Right, if so-and-so needs Jesus, so-and-so can find Jesus. But I don't need to hear the poison, especially when you premise it with, don't say anything. Don't do anything. You betrayed my confidence. Let me give you the law of America. You ready for this? I cannot hold in confidentiality what puts someone in danger or what makes someone dangerous to someone else that is not bound by confidentiality. So when you tell me that someone's in spiritual danger, I am not keeping that in confidentiality. I'm rushing in with my sling and my stone. I'm running onto the battlefield, and I'm going to say, who is this blasphemous? Who is this blasphemous? Who is this stupid pagan blaspheming? My God, who is this person trying to hold you back from promise? Who is this evil one that's trying to corrupt your mind? Hey, listen, if somebody is in danger today, let's stop talking about them, and let's start running to their aid. May the army of God come awake, drawing our swords, ready for battle. And when we hear that a brother or sister is going down, pornography plaguing their life, negativity plaguing their life, claiming things that Jesus can't help, then let's step into the battlefield and let's say, hey, I'm not going to hold this to myself and let you be destroyed. I will rise in the name of Jesus Christ, and we will stand against the giants of your life. You say, well, I just don't like that kind of preaching. Well, you don't like Jesus. I mean, I'm sorry. It's the Word. You say, well, that doesn't mean I don't like Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Anybody else having a good time in church today? I mean, anybody else? Hey, anybody else hear a call? Anybody else hear God leaning over heaven and saying, hey, I'm calling you to victory, so shut up and start listening. Stop complaining and hear my cry. You say, you're not supposed to say shut up. God said it four times. Four times. Number five, complaining crushes power. When I'm complaining, it blinds me to the possibilities of the power of God. Man, their walls, man, they got fortified cities and they got big people. They're all huge. They're all big. You know, yeah. In Joshua 5, they didn't walk in with complaint. They walked in with power. What happened to Jericho just a couple chapters later? It fell down. You know how it fell down? They took chisels, jackhammers, ramming swords. They took tanks. They took a Petzler. They rolled it right in there. No, they took the Ark of the Covenant and followed it. You say, what does that mean? The Ark of the Covenant is the presence of God. They put the presence of God before them, and they followed it. And when the presence of God went into the Jordan dried up. When the presence of God left the Jordan flooded its banks. When the presence of God started walking around the walls, they started walking too. And when the presence of God stopped, they stopped. And when the presence of God stopped moving, they stopped, they shouted, they blew their trumpets. And in the presence of God, all the walls of the most fortified city known to man in that day came crumbling down without one soldier. You know what it had? Believers. Man, hey, I every day putting my hands on my son's head saying, in Jesus' name. Every day looking at certain things in Jesus' name. I cry out to my debts in Jesus' name. I cry out to my fears in Jesus' name. I cry out to my longings and my desires in Jesus' name. I speak to my lust in Jesus' name. I speak to my temptations in Jesus' name. I speak to my enemy in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, the army of God should be empowered while the demons of hell tremble. It's in Jesus' name that they have to flee. I'm telling you now, we need to get some praise. We need to get some Jesus name in our lives. So, hey, what kind of person brings about complaint? Where does complaint come from? Three things real quick. Ready? Number one, an unbelieving heart. Number two, a disobedient life. And number three, a corrupted mindset. Complaint comes. Yeah, when you're a complainer and you're negative, that's you have an unbelieving heart, a corrupted mindset, and a life that is lived outside of who God is. All right, so understand this. Let me give you some truth. You ready? I don't want to live on this nasty complaint junk. Let's get some praise. All right, I'm going to solve it pretty easy. Praise is the opposite of complaint. So write this truth down. If complaint empowers the enemy, then praise disarms it. If complaint empowers my enemy, then praise disarms it. Now, I want you to understand this. Negativity and complaining will never unlock blessing. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 19, verse number 3, that people ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry with God. They do stupid things and then blame God for it. But then Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 21 says this, the tongue can bring life or death, and those who love to talk are going to reap the consequences. What are you reaping? You're reaping according to what you're speaking. And if you're speaking death and damnation, then you're reaping. And Jesus would look at you and say, I will give you exactly what you asked for. You know, God says, okay, if you're praising, I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. Now understand this, and I want you to look at this parallel. In Numbers 13, you see the parallel of destruction, the curse of God upon those that denied the presence and promise and faith. They denied his power. In Joshua chapter number 5, verse number 1, you see a totally different circumstance. They have just crossed the Jordan, and look what happens. The Bible says when all the Amorite kings across the Jordan to the west and all the Canaanite kings near the sea heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the Israelites until they all had crossed over. Will you please circle this and praise this? It says they, number one, lost their heart. And number two, their courage failed. What did they do to destroy Canaan? They just followed God. They praised God. When all of them heard, how did they hear? Word got out. Word got out. You don't hear something unless somebody's talking about something. All right, now listen to me. It starts spreading. The complaints of the 10, word got out, and it trapped them. In verse number 1 of chapter 5 of Joshua, as they're going into the promise, finally, all the people 20 years or older, all the complainers are dead. All the promisers are the promise keepers are stepping into the land. As they get into the land, what went ahead of them? Praise. They started telling people about what had happened in the Jordan, and without even doing something or defending themselves, the praise of what God did, he took the courage of the enemy and destroyed their hearts. They were all defeated before Israel ever got there. Why? Because the praise of God had reached their ears, and the power of God put them in fear. Now listen to me. If our complaint does those five things, kills potentials, hinders progress, promotes and empowers the enemy, corrupts people, crushes power, then our praise does the opposite. Our praise unlocks potential. Our praise promotes progress. Our praise defeats the enemy. Our praise empowers people. Our praise unlocks the power of God. Look at Joshua 5:1, and it says this, they lost heart, their courage failed because what? Because of God? Do you see this word? Because of who? What did they do? What did they do? Hey, they were obedient. Hey, they were focused. They had their minds made up. You know what God did? Promoted them. You know what God did? Empowered them. You know what God did? Unleashed them. It says here, and I want you to understand this. In your life today, your praise activates your worship, right? And it brings God's power. It brings God's potential. It brings God's promise into your life. But then God uses his power and uses the potential. Hey, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't even heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for those who what? Huh? Yeah, those that love the Lord, those that are seeking him. Hey, the Lord is the rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. Church, can I tell you this? It's time for our praise to start rising higher than our complaint. It's time for our worship to start being true. So where does praise and worship come from? These three areas. Number one, an obedient, faithful heart. Says it's all God or nothing. Number two, a focused life. And number three, a cleaned mind. A mind that is centered. Look at Psalm 107:2. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Hey, King James, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hey, listen. Tell others he has redeemed you from who? Your enemies. Hey, listen to me, church. I do not believe for a moment that the power of God is as real as it could be in the house of God. I do not believe for a moment that the things that Jesus wanted to do through his church are being done. I don't believe for a moment that everybody that went to church today is going to go to heaven. I don't believe for a moment that the 100 million people in America out of 330 million that'll dart the doors of a church are going to see God and experience God. Because if they were, they would become an army that was unstoppable. Why? Because the word of his testimony would go out before us. You know, I don't know about you, but anybody else in here? I want to be known for God's power, not my own. I want to be known based on God's word and not my own. I want people to speak and say, oh, listen, don't talk like that in front of him. He's one of those. You know, he's crazy. You know, listen to me. All week I've been going around to people saying, hey, if you're not living right, you can't lead right. And if you're not living right, you can't lead. You need to get right with God before we can put up here. James chapter 3 says, hey, listen, those that are called into leadership are held to a higher responsibility. They're higher accountable. It's better not to do this stuff and not to be on a stage. And so what we've been doing this week is sitting down people and saying, hey, listen, you cannot be on this stage until you get this right in your life. And if you can't get this right in your life, we can't let you lead. There's a difference in sitting in a seat and not caring about your life and your soul than standing on a stage and pretending you're of God. All right, you say, that's so judgmental. That's not Corinthians 13, it's Corinthians 5, and it is Corinthians 13. We love you enough to not abandon you for the church's cause. We love you enough to leave the 99 and leave our progress and leave our promotion so that you can be rescued by an almighty God. We love you enough to maybe make it to where we don't function as easily and as properly. Why? Because we need you to be built and you to be right with God. Why? Because you are the power of God made known to man. You are the light of the world. And if the light is hid, then how can people know? If the salt has lost its flavor, then wherewith shall the earth be salted? Hey, if the church isn't living in the power of God, then how will the world ever know of the power of God? And so I look at every teenager and I look at every parent. I look at every husband. I look at every wife. I look at every child. I look at every adult. Whether you're a senior citizen or you're a young believer, I don't know who you are today, but I am asking you this. Does the power and praise of God, is it evident in your life? You say yes, then that is not proven through the way you sing a song. That is proven through your obedience to what God has called you to do. And I'm telling you now, I believe God is starting a revival right here at Grace Community Church. I mean, you couldn't be at Wednesday night service and tell me that was not the power of God. And you cannot be last week and 2 weeks ago and say that was not the power of God. And it is time for the children of God to start living the way that God has said instead of living the way that the world has said to live. It's time for you to stop justifying your immorality and start getting made moral and made right through the power and the presence of God. And how do you do that? You get your eyes out of the wilderness, get your eyes off of Egypt, you clean your mind and you say, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. My name is Caleb. My name is Joshua. I stand in the salvation of the Lord. I came in the presence of my God and I will go. And those two were the only ones over 20 that made it to the promised land. I'm going to tell you this now. You will not keep me from my promise. You will not keep me from the power of God. You will not hinder me. You may not want the power of God, but I do. You can die in the wilderness if you want to, but one day I will see the revival of God's church poured out in the midst, and I'll see men having visions and old men having dreams. We will see a resurrection because in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit. You may not be there for it, but I plan on it. I plan on being there. And so you know what? I need to be a person that just as I've received Christ, I walk in him. Holy, rooted. Well, God is looking for hands to be raised to worship. No, God's looking for holy hands to raise. Well, God, you know, you should just be happy I came to church. No, you should be happy I brought the church to you. You say, well, I just don't want to be at a place because, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, hey, I'd rather have the kind of preaching that'll send you to heaven than the kind of preaching that'll make it easy to go to hell. You know, I'm interested in your eternity. I'm interested in your soul. You mean more than a person in a seat. You were created in the image of God for the purpose of God, for the good works of God, to glorify God. And God help us. We're not going to let Satan rob that of you. And so today, with heads bowed and with eyes closed, are you a complainer? Are you a praiser? Are you someone living in obedience? Are you somebody living in opposition to God? We need a generation to rise. We need believers to rise. Are you saved? Are you saved? A child of God? You say, well, I know God. No, remember, you can know the plan, you can know the promise, you can know everything there is to know, but that does not save you. You will die in a wilderness if you do not have a belief, an acceptance of Christ, a relationship with Christ. Have you ever proclaimed Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and openly declared him as Lord? Hey, can I tell you this? The Bible makes it clear. It's impossible for you to say you're a child of God without the fruits of God coming out of your life. It's impossible for you to say you're a child of God if you're scared to tell people about God. It's impossible. It's the open declaration. It's confession that makes us right. It's those things. And at some point, you got to stop playing church and you got to become the church. And we get all excited thinking that means we're going to become powerful. No, that means you got to become a child of God. Children of God. Parents of God. Hey, a generation of godliness. A holy generation that's seeking Him. And at some point in Grace Community Church, may we forsake the world so that we can be the people of God. Walking in His promise and His power. So today, I'm calling you out so that you can be called up. Children of God, come awake. Those of you that are not children of God, those of you that do not know if you have Jesus as your Savior, I'm calling you to take and make a proclamation with your life. Would you confess to heaven your need of a Savior? And will you openly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Would you accept salvation so that the power of God, the life-changing power of God, can invade your soul this morning? So I'm asking you this as your pastor. What kind of church do you want? Do you want to be people of promise or people of the wilderness? People with complaint or people with praise? When I come into a right standing with God, I believe that He is. When I come into a fellowship with that belief that God is God, when I come into a cleansing to where I realize I need Jesus in order to be in a right standing with God, that relationship leads me to freedom, and that freedom leads me to worship. Worship does not lead you to freedom, and worship does not lead you to relationship. It's the relationship. It's the truth that sets you free. And if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. And when you get set free, you've got something to worship about. And I'm asking you today, do you have enough God in your life that you have something to worship about today? Is there a praise in the house today? Is there someone who has been set free? Is there someone who has been redeemed from their enemies? Then say so. Say so today. And so I'm calling you as a church. I'm calling you as a husband, as a wife, as a teenager, as a person. Will you hit your knees before an almighty God and say, create in me a clean heart. Renew your spirit. Refresh my soul. Because I want to be a pastor that leads to promise. Do you want to be a church that stands in the promises of God or in the complaints of the world? Would you come today? On the count of three, let's move. There's already those here. One, two, three. If God is calling you, would you come today? No hesitation, no reservation, total surrender. Would you come today and let God do a work?